All right, this is the broadcast for God's Grace for You. It should be aired on Monday, the date on the label. Well, thanks so much. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, back with you again this week, and we're going to sort of pick up where we left off last week. Again, it's always a privilege to be here. If the Lord says the same, we'll be here all this week, all the way till Friday. Now, we oftentimes want to give you something that is encouraging, but probably more importantly, something that will promote you and provoke you to study God's Word. And we have something we want to offer you this week. It's a piece called, Am I Going to Heaven? It is sort of a, really, it's an almost like a quiz. There are 18 things or 18 options that you have, which you can check one or all of them, as many as you like, things that you think or items that you need to base your hopes of reaching heaven on after you die. So you can check one. For example, number one is like trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Overwhelmingly, many of you would believe, and I know you would believe from talking to you, that keeping the Ten Commandments is an issue. So obviously you would check that. Maybe you would check baptism. Maybe you would check many of the others out of this list of 18. And then what it does, it takes you through the scripture and basically gives you a means to grade your answers to see if what you checked off is in fact necessary for your heavenly hope. So we'll send it to you absolutely free. Give us a call, Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900, or if you're out of town, it's 1-866-68-GRACE, or you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com. Or you can write us a letter or come by and see us. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. The piece is called, Am I Going to Heaven? Simply request it by name, and we'll send it to you free of charge, postpaid, to your door. Now, last week we began an interesting study on the topic of tongues, this spiritual phenomenon that has permeates not has, but currently permeates much of professing Christendom today. And what we did last week is we started off with the assumption or the presupposition that tongues of today are biblical. So in other words, if you went and, you know, in the first tongues church of New Orleans or whatever, or this church or that church, and that sort of spiritual manifestation was there, we approached it with the understanding that was biblical. In other words, or that those tongues were biblical. And then what we did is proceeded to demonstrate when tongues, whatever they may be, violate Scripture. When they violate Scripture. Now, we spent a week going through chapter and verse, of which overwhelmingly we were in 1 Corinthians 14. As we said last time, that's known as the great Pentecostal chapter. Now, we took that chapter, and remember, the whole book is a book of rebuke. 1 Corinthians is not an epistle where Paul writes to a bunch of spiritual people telling them all the good things they've done. It's a book that he writes to a bunch of spiritual children that are abusing everything. Their basic doctrines are wrong. They're carnal. They're absolutely no example, no model for any believer to follow. It's just the opposite. But what we did is we gave you chapter and verse. Now, I want to have you know that I had a couple of people call, everyone a woman. None would leave their name nor phone number. None gave a chapter or verse for their position. They were all very quick to say that I was wrong, that I had missed it, but none supplied a chapter and verse. Now, we spent a week going through these issues. Firstly, we said speaking in tongues violates Scripture in a public gathering, and remember, that's the context of 1 Corinthians 14, a quote-unquote gathering together of the church, or a church meeting, if you will. Now, speaking in tongues in that setting violates Scripture when more than three people speak, more than three at a time, more than one in any given time at the same time violates it, but then at the most three total, one at a time. If there's a whole bunch of people doing it at one time, you're in violation of the Word of God. You have no respect for the Word of God. If there's more than three total from the time you get there to the time you leave, you're in violation of Scripture. If ever it's a woman, you're in violation of Scripture. If the speaker interprets for himself, you're in violation of Scripture. If there's no interpreter, you're in violation of Scripture. If it causes any confusion or division at all, you're in violation of Scripture. If self-control of the person speaking is lost, you're in violation of Scripture. If it results in a new revelation, you're in violation of Scripture. If everyone is told to seek the gift, you're in violation of Scripture. And if it does not edify the church, certainly, and we mean everyone in there, then you're in violation of Scripture. Now, you can tell me, I don't believe that. That's fine. That's fine. But give me a chapter and verse. A lot of people don't believe a lot of things. Some people don't believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You can take that position if you want. Just don't tell me it's biblical. You can say, I belong to a church that denies the resurrection of Christ. Fine. It's just not a biblical church. You can say, I belong to a church and we don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's fine, but you're not in a biblical church. Maybe nice people, but it's not biblical. You can be in a church that says, we believe that you're saved by faith and baptism. Well, that's great. You can believe that, but you're not biblical. Don't tell me you're biblical. If you're going to tell me you're biblical, then you're going to have to give me biblical support for what you believe. Now, what we want to do this week is we want to look at the very issue of tongues of today. And we're going to give you some of the negatives there. But then we want to look at the very origin of these biblical tongues. So today we're going to begin looking at tongues of today, what we see manifested today. Now, whether you believe it or not, firstly, tongues, this supernatural or this spiritual phenomenon where someone speaks in this ecstatic utterance, it's certainly not a known dialect. It's not a language at all, despite the fact of what the Scripture says. But often, these tongues are often spoken by unbelievers. Muslims speak in tongues. Mormons speak in tongues. All sorts of people speak in tongues that have nothing to do with biblical Christianity at all. As a matter of fact, I had a pastor of a church in South Louisiana. I won't mention the church because I don't want to mention his name. And if I mention the church, you'd probably know his name. But he pastored a large church in South Louisiana. And he and I got into a dialogue over the sufficiency of Christ. And he told me that things like an ongoing sacrifice for sins for the living and the dead were real and genuine. And that I should not say that faith alone and Christ alone and no ongoing sacrifice, etc. I shouldn't say those things publicly. Because that would incense and oftentimes hurt the feelings of people who believed that it was necessary to have an ongoing sacrifice. And in a meeting with him, I asked him, I said, why do you believe that the proponents of this, that the head of this group in your area, is biblical? Certainly the Bible, he says, listen, I'm not worried about the Bible. He said, I know this is a man of God we're talking about. I said, really? I said, then how? What is the basis for you knowing he is a man of God since what he teaches contradicts the Word of God? And he told me, he says, we prayed in tongues together. And brother, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. You're a believer. Really? Muslims speak in tongues. Do they have the Holy Spirit? Mormons speak in tongues. They would deny the deity of Christ and the deity of the Holy Spirit. So you're telling me they have the Spirit? If so, what Spirit? So they're often spoken by unbelievers, never ever a basis to judge spirituality. Secondly, they produce no genuine spirituality or sanctification because almost unanimously where this manifestation occurs, there's a false gospel. There's an ecumenical spirit. Almost unanimously, very few exceptions to that. Thirdly, leads to pride and contention. Because you become a have-not if you don't have this. Oh, my friend, don't you babble and speak in tongues? Oh, we see, brother, you don't have the Spirit. You've got to get the revelation. You've got to get the feeling, really. Well, I thought Paul said not all are going to speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, he said it was the least of all the gifts and you shouldn't even seek it. It was a much better way. So why are you telling me that's the initial evidence for anything? Why are you telling? Firstly, I asked you last week to demonstrate to me, give me the chapter and verse that taught about a heavenly prayer language that no one could understand but the devil. Still waiting for a chapter and verse. Still waiting. Haven't heard from anybody. No one gave me a chapter and verse for that. As for a chapter and verse that distinguished between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which supposedly is subsequent to salvation, still waiting for a chapter and verse to talk about and show me where the Bible talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit as opposed to of the Holy Spirit. Still waiting for a chapter and verse. Still waiting for a call. Can't find it. Overwhelmingly, in places where these things are done, we find what? Women pastors. And the Bible says what? I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. The pastor then must be the husband of one wife. No women pastors. I didn't write the book. Hey, if I wrote the book, you could have women pastors. Be fine with me. But I didn't write the book, and you see, I'm not the final authority, and you shouldn't believe anything I'm telling you. You should open the Bible. What does the Bible say? You say, well, I don't believe that. Then that's fine. Then we've established where you are. You're unbiblical. So you can believe anything you want then. You can believe any sort of thing. It doesn't make any difference then. You're not biblical. So don't tell me, don't be mad at me because I'm just trying to be biblical. If you think I'm unbiblical, then give me the chapter and the verses. Give them to me. Tongues of today lead to pride and contention. Very clear, very obvious. Anyone who's been involved in the movement will tell you. They fan the emotions into sin. Look at some of the great scandals that we find in professing Christianity today, in Protestantism or evangelical Christianity, if you will. And it's based where? With people that are supposedly pristine, or at least at one time, pristine examples of this phenomenon, those that spoke in tongues more than most, etc. What did it produce in their ministries? You have these people on all the time. We gave you a couple of examples. Robert Tilton, a con man, back on quote-unquote Christian television. How in the world would anybody give him the airtime? How in the world? Well, they would for money. If filthy lucre is their driving force of existence. But don't say you're a Christian station and have people like that on, hoodwinking and deceiving people again. There's a problem here. And what's the problem? What's the common denominator? The common denominator is this phenomenon. That's the common denominator. Now, somebody needs to wake up and see this. And if you're afraid to, well, then you're just afraid of truth. You can be mad at me. It's okay. You can be upset with me. That's okay. It's not my intent to get you that way, but I would like you to open the scripture. Give me the chapters and verses that demonstrate that I have missed it here. I will come back, take twice the airtime to correct the problem. But as always, call a friend and join us tomorrow at this same time.